Welcome to Novel Finds Podcast, the podcast where we talk about your favorite books, our favorite books, and everything in between. I'm Julia, and I am here with Ashley Poston to talk about all of our favorite summer reads of the season. Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great. We are very excited to have you on. We're missing Maggie. She had a work thing, which is so unfortunate, but it's going to be fun. She is here in spirit. I have the answers to her to the first question, so she will be here in spirit at least for that first question.
Excellent.
Yeah,
it's a good first question.
It's a fun first question, and honestly, her answers are really funny because they correlate with mine, and we did not coordinate that.
Like calls to like, as Leigh Bardugo once said.
Oh my god. But without keeping everyone in suspense, our first question is, what Marvel superheroes do you think would be the sweetest romantic couple?
I could say something else if I had not written a Marvel book coming out in October.
Okay.
I have a Marvel book coming out in October. It's a Kate Bishop novel. Bishop Thicks King. It comes out October 3rd. And my ride or die Marvel pairing is actually, it's the friendship between Kate and America.
Love that.
But also, like, I just want to say that I think Kate and like a gender fluid Loki would be really fun.
Ooh, that would be so chaotic.
Like I think right now in the comic run, they're pairing Loki with Scarlet Witch, which okay, sure. I mean, he was in the Young Avengers with Scarlet Witch's children, so it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what's yours?
So I also have a Kate Bishop, actually. I know. And so does Maggie, which is really funny that you mentioned Kate Bishop. I think Kate and Shuri would be really fun together.
Yes.
And Maggie thought Kate and Yelena Belova would be fun together. Just because, like, I mean, they are fun together.
They are fun together.
But to take it like one step further, I actually had a second one where I was like, Yelena and Bucky, that's where it's at.
Ooh, that is like you are playing like 4D chess here.
Yes, yeah. But then she was like, oh my god, I have a Bucky too. And it was Bucky and Carol Danvers. I was like, oh my god.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Actually, yeah. I mean, also like Stucky.
I know, right?
Like I was like one I was in that fandom for so long.
I was too. I mean, how can you not be?
Right? Just the dynamic of it is just so good. Chef's kiss.
100%. Oh my gosh. But yeah, it was really funny. I sent her a picture of my little notepad with these are my pairings. And she's like, oh my god, stop. like, these are my pairings.
I mean, Kate would be good with like literally anyone.
I agree, because she's so funny and smart and like fun loving that I was like, huh. I tried figuring out who would pair well with Ant-Man, actually.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one. Hear me out. I would pair with Emma Frost. But only because like the tropes there, you know, she's like, you know, very stoic, super rich, and he's a thief. Imagine.
And that's kind of what he's got going with the Wasp anyway, right? So it makes sense. Like that makes sense. If we're not choosing the actual canon person that he's with.
Yeah, anyone for Marvel canon, it has to be someone who is like in direct opposition to him.
I would love to see like a heist movie with Loki and Ant-Man and maybe even Nick Fury, like he's in on it or something. Maybe Thor.
Thor just like playing like the like straight man. He's just,
yeah.
Oh man. And they're all like bouncing jokes off it. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Throw that'd Spider-Man in there and we've got a crazy heist going on.
That'd be like the best heist. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh.
It would be like not be flawless. Well, anyway, do you want to talk about books?
Yeah, please. Let's talk about books.
All right. So you have a ton of romance books in your arsenal, both in writing and in just opinions. What are the hottest romance books people should check for the remainder of summer?
Well, let's see here. I think everyone should read. Okay, I have five that I'm going to recommend.
Okay.
And the first one is Mrs. Nash's Ashes by Sarah Adler. I got the chance to read it last year and I fell in love and I blurbed it and I could not stop screaming about it. It is grumpy sunshine, forced proximity on a road trip from the Northeast to Florida. And it has one of the best fictional festivals I have ever read in a rom-com in my life. Like the hijinxes are just top tier. And it's like sweet and sexy and it's so good. Another one, if you're like into a more like sapphic feel, I highly recommend That Summer Feeling by Bridget Morrissey. It's the sapphic adult summer rom-com, like the summer camp rom-com of your dreams. I was never a camp girly. I've never been to camp in my life and I'm not really a woodsy person.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
I got chased once by a bear the only time I went camping. And so I will never go that camping again.
Terrible luck. Oh my God. What?
It was a baby bear. So it was fun.
Okay. Okay.
it was fun. Mostly. but I love like just like the steamy like sweetness of That Summer Feeling. It's just so good. It makes me want it makes me wish I was like a woods girly just so that I could like kiss a really hot woman in the woods.
Just fair enough. Yeah,
just, you know, dream goals, you know. Speaking of dream goals, Business or Pleasure by Rachel Lynn Solomon is so good. Rachel Lynn Solomon is one of my auto buys at this point, and this might be my favorite book of hers. It's about a ghostwriter and an actor from a certain werewolf TV series that fall in love in this delightful rom-com where she has to ghostwrite his memoir. And if you like love Comic-Cons and if you were into Teen Wolf, like I was into Teen Wolf, it scratches that itch, if you know what I'm saying.
Makes the leg wag.
It does. It's a nice like scrub behind the ears. And let's see here, speaking of rom-coms, The Neighbor Favor by Christina Forrest. It is basically You've Got Mail but make it like super steamy and really dreamy. It is about a woman who wants to be a children's editor who corresponds with her favorite fantasy author until one day he just stops responding to her. And then she starts to like have a friendship with one of her neighbors who might or might not know her already from a certain online correspondence.
Oh my God. That sounds so adorable.
It's really, really good. I was like blushing the entire time. It was so lovely. It has my entire heart. And then my last recommendation is The Secret Service of Tea and Treason. It's the third damsel's book by India Holton. It's about two rival spies who fall in love between pirates, witches, and a fake arranged marriage. If you haven't read India Holton before, her romances are like snarky and fun and like just like really adventurous. So if you're looking for something a little different than the normal contemporary rom-coms, it's definitely it.
Ooh, I love that. I actually have that one like on my list to read. It popped up. I've just seen it in lists. I'm like, this just sounds so cool.
It is like the entire trilogy so far has been just so much fun. It's like take the setting of Howl's Castle and just inject it with like witches and pirates and just like really like steamy sweet romances. Oh, so good.
Oh my God. My dream.
Right? So good.
So of all of the tropes that you've mentioned, which one is your favorite? Or do you have a favorite one that wasn't mentioned?
I really enjoy forced proximity. Like I super enjoy it. I kind of played with it in The Dead Romantics and then again in The 7 Year Slip. So I think it's like one of my like go-to tropes. I think there's a lot of, like, you can do with it. That's not just, oh, there's only one bed and they're snowed in. Like I love finding other like ways that it's a forced proximity.
Maybe kind of
unconventional ways.
Mm-hmm. So of all of your books, which one is the spiciest one? In like order of spiciest to least spicy, in case people want the spice.
So the spiciest one is 7 Year Slip. That's coming out on June 27th. Then I think it would go 7 Year Slip, Dead Romantics. And then I wrote a lot of YA. So not very spicy. My YA is very not very.
I would not expect YA to be spicy ever.
It's listen, I'm not Sarah J. Maas. I can't do it.
Her books aren't considered YA, are they? It's just the first one in ACOTAR, right?
Well, the Her Throne of Glass series is considered YA.
I've gotten pretty far though, and like it has sexy moments, but I feel like they haven't. It's like mostly closed door, if anything.
Empire of Storms has a.
Oh, I haven't gotten there yet.
Glass is made on a beach.
Oh, all so right.
It's so hot. It's so piping hot. Glass is literally made on the beach.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
It's fun.
So Maggie and I sometimes do a thing on our Patreon where we have categories that we put books in. And so here's one for you for vacation book recommendations.
Oh gosh. Okay, so to read of like the five that I've mentioned already, or
sure, or any other ones you want to throw in there.
Okay. Let's see here. By the Pool, I would definitely recommend Business or Pleasure, because you're stretched out on like a pool chair, and like on the cover they're stretched out on a bed, so I think like, you know,
okay,
there's like a nice juxtaposition there. For like a sandy beach read. Okay, so I'm like that weird person who when I go to the beach, I don't want to read like a beachy read. I want to read like fantasy. So I would say Tea and Treason.
Okay.
For the actual beach read, to transport me away from the hot, humid sun that's bearing down on me and roasting my skin. And what were the other ones?
To read in a park or a lazy afternoon, and to read on a plane.
Ooh, to read on a plane, I would say Mrs. Nash's Ashes, because then you can spark up a conversation with the person beside you about like travel. If like they ask you what the book is about, and oh, there's a pigeon on the front, and you'd be like, yeah, and you can tell them about the pigeon. The park would probably be the neighbor favor, because I feel like anything Nora Ephron-y needs to be read in a park.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's the mood, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, the vibe is there.
The vibe is immaculate. And then just like for a lazy summer day, absolutely that summer feeling. I mean, cause then you can pretend to be out in the woods while you're in the lovingly cool embrace of your central AC.
So of all of the rom-coms out there, because to me, it seems like romance kind of having like their heyday, which is lovely. And I love it. What makes these ones stand out to you?
I think just the fact that like the romance is front and center, and it's like the characters are like fully fleshed out, and I love all of the secondary characters. Like for me, a really good rom-com has really good secondary characters that work well off of mm-hmm. The main characters. And so that's kind of what I look for in a really good rom-com. It's not like the two leads, but it's like everything around the leads, right? Mm-hmm. It's the different people they surround themselves with. It's like the different set pieces that happen. And I think these books definitely check all those boxes for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So talking about characters though, do you fall for the main characters? Do you fall for the secondary characters? secondary question. What makes these characters swoony, do you think?
So I usually don't fall for the characters all that much. I think I used to, but now that I also create and write rom-coms, I mm-hmm. have more of like a writer mind going on. Like mm-hmm. I am like, oh, that's how this person does that trope. But oh, I'll have to like make notes so that I can like do the trope as well, like better. And so I don't know. I don't really fall in love with a love interest, but I do really appreciate when like it's not just like the chemistry, but also how they interact and like the conversations that they have. I know a lot of people say, oh, I hate insta-love, but I think a lot of the time people are confusing insta-love with insta-lust. Mm-hmm. And the two are incredibly different things. Insta-love is like Twilight. Mm-hmm. Like Bella knew almost instantly that like she was in love with this guy who crept into her room in
right,
the middle
who
of the
just,
night.
Like stared at her like
watched
she smelled
sleep.
Bad.
Exactly. And it's like she never like once questioned it. So I think there's like a lot more that goes into like insta love than just, ooh, this person hot and me want to bang, you mm-hmm. know? whereas like I love the dichotomy of like being physically attracted to someone like almost instantly, but their personality has like a little more to be desired. And throughout the novel, the characters learn from each other and they become their best possible selves through each mm-hmm. other. Like, I think that's like, that's my through line. That's,
yeah,
like, that's,
yeah.
That's the chef's kiss for me.
Oh, I love that. What do you do to characters to make them swoony?
I usually start with an accent.
Okay.
And I am very bad at writing accents, so that goes away very quickly. seriously, I usually start with something that I like find attractive in a partner, and I do the exact opposite at the beginning, so that. Like the characters work towards it and it's not mm-hmm. something that they already inherently have. And then I usually use that as like the springboard to like what the other character needs in their life. So I kind of plan off each other.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love the accents too. I mean, 7 Year Slip has a Southern accent in it, which is
yeah.
great.
Ewan is my good old Southern boy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So in your opinion, mm-hmm. what is the most romantic setting for a summer romance?
Oh, most romantic setting for a summer romance. You know, before I lived in New York City, I would have said Summer in the City because Sex in the City brainwashed me for a very long time. And then I lived in the city and then I was like, no, this sucks. And no, Summer in the City is great. There's like so much to do, Shakespeare in the mm-hmm. Park, all that. But I think actually my, like, the most romantic thing for me is like an evening at like a special museum event or like a hole in the wall, a restaurant where there's not a lot of people, that kind of like magical sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's like everyone is experiencing something on their own and then you see someone across the way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like everyone is in their small little like magical moment. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. I kind of really love those.
Oh yeah. I don't know what I would, I don't really, I think it really depends on the context for me on mm-hmm. what the most romantic setting is. It's never going to be camping. Like you, I hate camping. I
can't do it.
It is never, ever going to be camping. But like, maybe like a beach house. I don't know. I mean, I really like if I'm at the beach, but I also don't look at other people when I'm at the beach. I'm solidly reading a book or taking a nap. I don't interact with anyone. So the only way anyone is going to interact for me on a beach mm-hmm. is if like you accidentally get tripped over because they were doing something.
Yeah, if someone accidentally spikes a volleyball towards me from one of their beach games.
Yeah.
Only way.
Yeah. Oh my God. If I get hit by a beach ball unexpectedly, the amount of expletives that would come out of my mouth.
The amount of self-restraint I would need not to just throw the ball back in their face.
Right. Like, so maybe that's not the most romantic.
I don't know. That'd be really romantic. Meet cute. You get hit with a volleyball and then you throw it back and then you cause them a nosebleed.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Like, cute. Oh, no worries. And you like spike it back, but you spike it back really hard because you're actually mad about it.
Yeah, you're actually mad about it. And you don't aim and oops. Sorry.
Oh no. That's
oh no,
bad.
You're perfectly handsome.
But then they start
bleeding.
And you're like, oh my God, now I have to get you ice.
Exactly. And then you have to go over to like the tiki hut and like, you know, the mm-hmm. the bartender, you know, saw it all happen and just...
Right. The bartender is like a witch or something who made it happen.
It's, who made it
it's
happen.
Her fault.
Already had like the pack of ice ready. Like, here mm-hmm. you go, dearie.
Yep, yep. She's like, oh, are you feeling okay? I saw it. What's your name? And what's your name? Oh, how long have you two been together? It's like, we're not together. Oh my gosh.
Gorgeous, perfect. This is great. We should write this.
Yeah, we should write this. Oh my God. Do you have a personal favorite? Or a recommendation for someone who might be looking for a romance with a fairy tale twist?
A fairy tale twist. I really love Julie Murphy's take on Cinderella. It's really lovely, very steamy, and I very much enjoyed it. I cannot wait to read Zoraida Cordova's Kiss the Girl, which is a Little Mermaid retelling that comes out, I think, August. I'm a sucker for Little Mermaid, so I am very excited. And I'm also a sucker for like music-infused books because like that was like that's like the one trope that gets me every single time. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, you're falling for a mysterious musician. I wonder how this is gonna turn out. Baggage, don't mind if I do.
Oh, let me just pick up my bags for you.
Like, you know, she has bags under her eyes, he has bags, you know, from the history of on the road. Yeah, exactly. It's perfect. So those, if you're into like young adults, I highly recommend my Once Upon a Con books. they're like kind of fairy tale inspired from mm-hmm. like Geekerella, Cinderella, Princess and the Fangirlist, Princess and the Pauper and Bookish and the Beast is Beauty and the Beast. So,
ooh. Oh my gosh, you have a ton of them.
I do. Speaking of Beauty and the Beast, Jasmine Guillory's Beauty and the Beast retelling is so much fun. I'm definitely blanking on the title, but
that's okay.
by the book. It's by the book.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, especially because Belle loves reading. So if you were to pair a cocktail with the Dead Romantics and the 7-Year Slip, which one would best suit it, do you think?
Well, there's like a running joke in the Dead Romantics with vodka and Coke. So definitely that. Because Florence has never ordered anything else in her entire life. As for 7-Year Slip, I think a nice mimosa, honestly, because like there's a lot of like food adjacent scenes, and mm-hmm. a mimosa is yellowish orange and the cover is yellowish orange.
I was just about to say that.
But also, like, I don't know, a nice Bloody Mary as well. Just,
yeah.
You have like a celery there to chomp on, and like you're drinking the blood of your enemies. So.
Yeah. Naturally, that's what you do with your Saturday mornings. Like,
absolutely. Like, who doesn't?
crazy people.
Yeah, basically.
So tell us about the 7-Year Slip. It is coming out so soon.
It is. It's coming out so soon. Okay, so the 7-Year Slip is about a overworked publicist named Clementine who inherits her late aunt's magical time-traveling apartment. And in this apartment, she meets this up-and-coming chef who, in her time, ends up being probably her worst nightmare.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So she falls in love with him like 7 years in the past, and then him in the present is a little different. So I play a lot with like love and how love changes and how love morphs and kind of like becomes different as you grow and become different. And I love those kind of love stories. So mm-hmm. I really wanted to play with that.
Yeah. What, because it really is the epitome of like right person, wrong time. Mm-hmm. What else, like, what do you think readers will find most fascinating about it?
I think readers will find, I hope they find Clementine's relationship with Ewan really fascinating, like when, as she falls in love with him 7 years in the past, and then like learning how he's different and that she still loves him in the present. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that they enjoy like the adventure that she goes on and all of like the lovely bits of like my like homages to food and like New York in the summer, by the way. It's definitely summer in the city in the 7-Year Slip. And it's all of my favorite bits about when I lived in the city. So, and also when I worked in publishing. So it's everything that I love just rolled into one.
Oh, I love that. What is the best part of starting a new romance novel?
The possibility, I think, because like possibilities are endless. Mm-hmm. When you start a romance novel, it's just like, okay, you have these two people that are a mess and you got to get them to the end and they're still going to be a mess, but mm-hmm. they're going to be a mess together.
It's the best way to be a mess.
It really is. It's like you're a mess, but you complement each other's messes. And mm-hmm. I love figuring out like the puzzle pieces and how to make that work. Mm-hmm. I always say that in like a previous life, I was like a matchmaker of some kind because I love like matchmaking characters together.
Sorry. Yes. Matchmaking is amazing. Speaking of matchmaking, though, do you have any dream casting thoughts for Clementine and Ewan?
Oh my gosh, I haven't even thought about it, if we're being honest.
Let's put it in the universe. What do you want?
I would love Anya Taylor-Joy as Clementine.
Ooh, okay, okay.
I think that would be a lot of fun. I loved her in The Menu, so I think that's like kind of where my head's at a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for Ewan. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
Like, who is your favorite Southern drawl actor or character that you've seen before?
Ooh, I'm definitely blanking. I have.
That is fair.
I don't really like casting characters all that much, because like mm-hmm. the way I see them in my head is different than how everyone else sees them in their head. So
yeah,
who would you cast?
I don't know.
The tables
have turned. Three tables. Well, when I think Southern drawl, I immediately was like, oh my god, what about that guy from that Miley Cyrus movie?
Oh my gosh, the Miley Cyrus.
Did I just unlock a memory?
A childhood memory. Like, it's just
it all came flooding back.
Oh man, I haven't thought about the climb in years.
I didn't really either before this question. But maybe because he was really sweet.
I need to go ice my knees now.
Yeah, I'll throw some icy hot on my lower back. but then I also like just love James Marsden.
Oh yeah,
and he's lovely. So I really, it could go anywhere. I just need someone that can do a good Southern accent.
Oh, so I think maybe the main character in The Bear, whatever his name is, if he can do a Southern accent, I think he would be the winner.
Okay, cat.
The cat just decided to
walked straight across the screen. Oh, hi, BB. Oh my god, I'm loving this.
Can you stop it? Go away. You're embarrassing me.
If this makes it into the audio, which I don't imagine it will. The cat just walked across and licked Ashley's nose, and it was so cute. It's just loving on her right now, and I'm just watching like a weirdo because I love cats.
Listen, Moose is a lot of things, but he is a lover, not a fighter.
Is your other one a fighter?
Absolutely, 100%. Muffet will make fighting everyone else's problem, and she just attacked Moose, and it's fine. We're fine.
Well, it's always one of those things. Like, you've seen the reels that are like in a house with two cats. There's always the angel and the demon cat. Like, that's an accurate thing.
See, the thing is with my cats though is that the demon cat is actually Moose.
Oh, okay.
he's a great cat. I love him. He is lovely. He also gets into everything. He climbed the blinds. I had to take all of my curtains down. Meanwhile, Muppet is just like, oh, you can do that? I can do that too. And so she does it after him, and she gets in trouble even though he's the one who did it first.
That's how it works though, right?
That is always how it works. Siblings, man.
Oh man. Yeah. So you have a lot of like little pieces of wisdom from Aunt Annalie in The 7-Year Slip. What is your favorite piece of wisdom?
Always keep your passport renewed, because man, that is a trial and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is like, I had my passport expire, and then I had to go through so many hoops to get it renewed. So stay on top of that.
Yeah, for real. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That, and it just takes forever to get it back, even if it isn't expired.
Forever. It's just, it takes so long. You have to plan so far ahead. But also just fall in love wherever you can. Like, you don't always have to fall in love with a person, but with like a place, with a moment, a day, a book, fall in love with like the things of the world whenever you can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yeah, I love that. Falling in love. Oh, this is a lovely. Yeah.
Falling in love with everything all at once.
But it's true, though. You become a much happier person when you like things.
Yeah, yeah. And like loving something is also like transformational, right? Like you mm-hmm. appreciate it in a way that you didn't before.
Yeah, yeah. So we're coming to the end of the episode. Do you have any final thoughts?
No thoughts in this head.
Zero thoughts.
Zero thoughts, only vibes.
Amazing. Well, where can people find you?
People can find me mostly on Instagram these days at Hey Ash Poston. You can also find me kind of on TikTok, also at Hey Ash Poston. I post sporadically on there and mm-hmm. mostly not about books because I need other things to talk about. Mm-hmm. So, and yeah, I'm still on Twitter technically at Ash Poston. And also you can just find me on my website at www.ashposton.com. Not Ashley Poston, because someone else took that URL and is sitting on it and is using it for their Amazon affiliate links of my books. So
rude.
That's a thing that happens.
Okay. That's weird. That is so weird. Oh my God.
Hope they're making a lot of money off of me.
Well, what is your favorite independent bookstore where people can find The 7-Year Slip? Because we are not supporting this Amazon affiliate link person.
Thank you. All right. So if there are any signed copies left, Oblong Books up in Rhinebeck has a few left, I believe. If not, they're slapping book plates on books because I went up last week to sign and there was only like so many. And then everyone wanted to pre-order one. And then they're like, oh, no, we didn't order enough. And I'm like, oh, no. And it was fine. You can also find me on my very small tour happening in Greenville on the 27th at M. Judson. And then I'll be at one of my favorite book personality bookstores, Novel Neighbor, in St. Louis on the 28th. And then I'll be at Joseph Beth's in Cincinnati on the 29th. So come out and say hello.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, good luck with your tour.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming on and talking about all of the summer reads.
Of course. I love shouting about books that aren't mine.
And your own book. We did put that in there.
And my own book, yes. But like,
yes.
Any chance to talk about a book that's not mine, please, 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 I'll take it. Please, please.
100%. All right.
And thank you so much. This was so lovely.
Thank you.
Well, we heckin' did it, y'all. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what you heard and want to support the show, share it with your other bookish friends and family members. And if your podcast app has ratings, please take a minute to rate and review the show. I'm off to read the next book in Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events for my monthly Patreon series, A Summary of Unfortunate Events, which is a middle-of-the-pool dive into the series we all know and love. And if you'd like to hear it, subscribe to our Patreon by following the link in the Novel Finds bio on Instagram, which you should totally be following if you're not already. Thanks again for being a novel friend. We'll see y'all next week. Bye.